Brother Officer Chapman, everybody. I was just happy to see him, you know. We're all apart now. This is also like the first time in like a year that I'm seeing Ricky Greenwich as well. He's here today. Justin, love you, brother. So we didn't do it yet. Today's Mother's Day. Mothers, I have to put you on the spot. Mothers, please stand up. Brothers, can we give a big round of applause to all the mothers, all the motherly figures, camp counselors, anybody that, if you did any kind of anything to inspire somebody, mothers, older sisters, siblings, this day is for you. We can do it again. Another round of applause, man. Mothers are awesome, okay? Women are awesome. Wives are awesome. Amen? So I'm titling this, I actually have two titles, and you guys could just let me know what you think makes more sense by the end of, but like I said, the title for this particular sermon is gonna be Mothers / Women Are Awesome. And then the other one that I had that I couldn't figure it out is Spirit of Women Are Important. Amen? So also, before I go ahead and get started, this is the first time I've been up here in a while speaking. So I think most of you know exactly what has happened in the past year with my family. We have heard from the majority of you, and we just want to thank you all for the overwhelming support. Okay, not just support, the overwhelming support. This church really came through for us basically this week. You know, last Saturday was the 1 year anniversary of Roland Agard passing away. I'm Ronald Agard. And today, Janine had reminded me this was the weekend of his funeral. So a lot of things going on, but I just want to thank you all, because if it wasn't, I don't know how people go through this stuff without a church, honestly, with a church, without a family kind of church. You know what I mean? I don't know. The family and the church really came through. And just on behalf of the family, my mom, Janine, we just want to thank you all, okay? Amen. All right, so we're going to start in 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 to 7. And I got so excited doing this because it's God's word. And it could be, you know, this kind of text could be interpreted. This particular text has been interpreted several different ways. It can be interpreted several different ways. What I've seen in these particular verses was, you know, it's speaking about Christian marriages, right? And I like just marriages, Christian marriages in general, right? And the interesting thing about it is, like 90% of these verses are talking about women. Even though it's talking about marriages, which obviously is a union of a husband and a wife, right? But the emphasis is so heavily on females, it made sense to share this with you this particular day. Now, just to give a little bit of background, this is Peter, as we know. And he wrote these letters in Rome at the time, and the letters were written specifically to the Christian communities that were under Roman rule at that point in time. And if we remember, this is like a big time of oppression. So, you know, Christians were being persecuted. They were being chased. They were being treated badly. And it was, these letters were encouragement, you know, to those communities to basically how to carry themselves during that particular time, right? So when it starts off, it's basically leading into that, right? So like I said, I had a lot of fun going through this, dissecting. That's just what the word does. So I go back and forth between the NIV, New International Version, and King James, because that's where all the meat is, right? All right, so verse 1, I'm reading from NIV right now. Wives, in the same way, submit yourselves to your own husbands, so that if any of them do not believe the word, pause right there, women, this part is for you, they may be won over without words by the behavior of their wives. And when they see the purity and reverence of your lives. So the emphasis here is, once again, on women. And it's saying, just off of the spirit that you all have out of the box, right? Without you having to say anything, all right? Just your behavior is supposed to be meant to testify to somebody. For your husband, right, to see God's word in you, right? That's how it's ending. When they see the purity and reverence in your lives. Now, the first part, what wives, in the same way, submit yourselves. Submit is like, it's in this day and age, like a lot of people misconstrued that word. You know, a lot, especially in the world, they take it completely out of context. So like I was, now that I'm home, I work from home. And, you know, now I get to, you know, watch a little bit of daytime TV. I never see it, right? So it's interesting to me. So like some of the programming that's on during the day is like a lot of the court shows, right? Divorce court, courts, all of them, judge this, judge that. So I caught one the other day, and there was this guy who was completely butchering the meaning of submission to his woman. And he was basically treating her really badly. And they were in court because I believe they were splitting up. But he kept going back to the part where he's like, well, in the Bible, it says you have to be submissive. So basically, you have to do whatever that I say. Several times, like everything he did, everything he would, you know, he would always back it up. Well, you have to be submissive. And that's what's in the Bible. You got to go with what's in the Bible, right? The guy's obviously no real believer. He probably couldn't even tell you where in the Bible it said that, but he kept going to that, right? So I wanted to talk a little bit about that really quickly, and it's still pretty familiar text, but we're going to go to Genesis. We're going to go all the way back. We're going to take it back to the basics really quickly, and you can leave your finger over in 1 Peter because we're going to go right back to it. But in Genesis chapter 2, right? It's right after the seventh day when God had rested. And then a couple verses down, we're going to skip the part about Adam because we could save that for Father's Day, right? We'll skip down to verse 22, I believe. Got to use your notes. We're going to skip down to verse 22, and I'll read from... Still going to continue reading from the NIV. And it says, then the Lord God made a woman from the rib he had taken out of the man, and he brought her to the man. Now, here's where it gets interesting. And think about what I was just talking about with that guy. Verse 23, the man said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man. It continues, verse 24. That is why a man leaves his father and mother and is united to his wife, and they become one flesh. We know this part, right? Now, this is when I just started going crazy, because it's deep, right? So when we look at what it says in the King James Version on that same verse in 24, it says, therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, get this part, and she shall and shall cleave unto his wife, and were not ashamed. The word cleave changes the whole perspective of that verse just off of that one little thing, right? So I went to Merriam-Webster.com and I looked up the definition of cleave. To adhere firmly and closely or loyally and unwaveringly. Let's read it again. Therefore, verse 24, King James Version. You guys have it. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall unto his, and they shall become one flesh. Amen. So it's interesting. And there's a reason for that. There's a reason for that particular bond and why it's important that they become one flesh. I'll tell you a secret right now. Men, I know I'm not supposed to let this secret out, but I'm gonna do it anyway. Being a man isn't easy. Being a man is not an easy thing, right? But we're still tasked with the mission, right, of being the head of the household, right, Justin? You know what I mean? But the thing is, you can't just run away with the idea that we're just the head of the household and whatever we say goes. The verse says that we are still to cleave unto his wife, and they shall become one flesh. Now, they're not meant, still sticking in Genesis, they're not meant, women and men, okay, mothers, husbands, girls, guys, females, males, are not meant to be the same. They are not, okay? Now, I would encourage anybody to let me know, like, the science behind it. I don't know the actual Bible context of it, but if we stick to the facts that's right here, in verse 7 of this same chapter, right? God formed man from the dust of the ground. In verse 21 and 22, women were created. Eve was created from the rib. So the elements of the creation of women and men are completely different. But it's still necessary for a woman. Women are necessary. Mothers are necessary. Let's continue. We could go back to chapter 3 of Peter, and we're going to see a little bit more about that difference, right? My mask is so annoying. I can't wait for this stuff to be over, man. But God is good, right? If this was a plague, just think about the fact that there were 7 plagues. All right? We only got one. I'll take it. All right. So, verse 3. All right. Now, still reading. Chapter 3, verse 3. Your beauty should not come from outward adornment. Still talking about women. It's like they just forgot about us, you know, maybe until the end. Like, I don't know, but you let me know. But it starts off, your beauty, women, your beauty should not come from outward adornment, right? Such as Gucci, Prada, Louis Vuitton. Oh, you guys don't have that version. Okay. I'll read the other one. I'll read the regular one. All right. Such as elaborate style, hairstyles, and the wearing of gold or jewelry. And the wearing of gold jewelry or fine clothes, right? It continues. Now, this is where he really turns it on. Get this part. Rather, it should be of your inner self. Get this. The unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit. Get ready for it. Which is of great worth in God's sight. Amen. Amen. You can't beat that. Now, God knew what he was doing. God knew exactly what he was doing. Okay, when you hear that part, God knew exactly why he made women exactly the way they are. Understand that, right? He doesn't make mistakes. We know that. But in the essence of it, right, we know, like, if you saw we saw a baby in a park, in a carriage, right, crying by itself, no parent around, and a man and a woman walked by, we know that we would still have a response to at least try to understand what's going on. Why is this baby crying? You know what I mean? And like, what's happening in this situation? But the mental and emotional responses going on between a man and a woman would be two completely different things, right? That's the nature that, that's the difference. That's how you can differentiate between a man and a woman, right? So that's one portion of it. And then at the end of the day, we know it's not to say that women are 100% quiet, okay? No. He said no. All right. He confirmed it, but I was gonna go to, like, I've spied on some of the sisters' meetings that are on Zoom. And those meetings are not quiet. They're far from quiet. And the word moves. Women have a wealth of knowledge it's possible that we're still not tapping into it, right? But we're going to get into that a little bit, in a little bit, right? You know, and, you know, the biggest example, of course, is my own mother. Because, you know, like I said, now in the pandemic, I'm home. So, like, in the mornings, you know, I take my mom to Jamaica Avenue to pick up the train in the morning during the week. And, you know, we fellowship, we pray together, and then, you know, we start talking. And that's like when, you know, the term iron sharpens iron, or she sharpens me, because it's just the wealth of knowledge that she has. And it makes sense why Dad used to talk to her so much. You know what I mean? Because she always had something to add to the table. That there's a balance that's provided by women, right? That's supposed to also add the value to a household with a husband, with a man. That's the role. And it's a big role. When you think about a structure of a household, we know that God knows structure. All of my business people, we know what a structure is, right? The structure of a household. the structure of a household, right? And but the thing is, even though there's like the World Trade Center, you know what I mean? They had the big antenna. I worked for the Port Authority. I came to find out that just the pole on top of that thing was like $20 million. But that's aside from the point. But we learned and we know that a part of that structure, there's several very critical necessities in order for that structure to hold, right? So we go into, the next couple verses, and we get some history. We learn about, the history. You know, he references Sarah and Abraham. So we're going to continue, and I will continue reading from the NIV. And it says, "For this is the way the holy women of the past," still talking about women, "who put their hope in God, those who adorned themselves, they submitted to their own husbands," verse 6, "like Sarah, who obeyed Abraham and called him her Lord. You are her daughters if you do what is right and do not give way to fear." I still am waiting for the part about men, right? So, and it's just like when you really truly try to dissect like just the role of a woman. I remember it's very interesting because, you know, in the young adults class on Sundays with Brother Archie spent like, I had the dates in my notes. He had started talking and discussing the role of women back in like mid-August, right? And it went all the way up until like September, right? Talking about probably more than that, talking about just the different aspects of the role of women. And that probably still wasn't even enough, right? So here's where we come in, right? In verse 7, and it's after 12, so in verse 7, "Husbands, in the same way," this is kind of where we come in. "Husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives." This is where it changes over to women again. "And treat them with respect as the weaker partner and as heirs with you of the gracious gift of life, so that nothing will hinder your prayers." This is when I got excited again, because now the way that it talks, that this is read in King James, was a completely different story, right? So we're gonna get into that. "Likewise," this is the King James Version, verse 7, "likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge." Just off of that part, right? When it says, now the word "according" is an adverb, right? And it runs parallel in conjunction to the word "knowledge," right? And it's dependent on the other, right? It doesn't say, right, to go off of your current knowledge, right? This is the part that I was talking about. It's still, the focus is still on women, even though it's supposed to be more or less about marriage. "Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge." So it doesn't only say to just go off of what you currently know. If you're saying "according," then that means that now this is a continuous effort that never stops. You're supposed to study. Study your woman. Because here's where it gets important, right? "Giving honor unto" who? Your wife. So you have to study her, because that's a way of giving honor unto your wife. And then here's where it gets even deeper. "As being heirs together of the grace of life. So guess what? Men being the head of the household, we're still at the same level as far as what we're going to inherit from the kingdom. We're both still heirs together in grace of life. Then this is where he just shuts it down. This is when you drop the mic and you walk away, right? Because if you don't do everything that I just mentioned, here's how it ends. That your prayers be not hindered. Verses 1 through 7, supposed to be talking about Christian marriages, but the complete emphasis is on the importance of women. Word to God. Word to God, you know, that you know, this is talking about just the importance of being a Christian. This is talking about the importance of just love and the importance of women, the importance of mothers. I want to commend each and every one that's here. You know, when I look at just, like I said, the sisters meeting, you know, just the value from young people's meeting that we get from the women that are there, you know, we have, you know, it became an issue because, you know, we were getting so much female young people, you know, in attendance. And initially it was, you know, running it, it was me and Ricky, you know, and then we got Omar, but it was, and more female attendees continued coming, you know, and we knew that it was important to get some female leadership there. It was important. We needed it, you know, and the last part, was it the last part? You know what it is? I skipped over something. I'm still, Justice said, go back. Actually, it's still on point. All right. So the next part of it is the middle of that same verse. It's talking about the weaker vessel, right? We know that the word vessel in the Bible is literally talking about your body. It's just the nature of your body, right? But it's not to say that women overall are weak people. We can surely agree with that, you know, and even just off of the physical part, if you guys come to my gym, there's women that's trying to defy the whole physical part of that too. We'll get into that another time offline, but that's what I'm going to close with because we're 15 minutes over, and I just want to say literally once again, you know, women are important. We need women. Women, mothers have a great significance that's taught and talked about continuously. We have several examples of it right here in the Bible. But specifically to here, Sunday school teachers, youth leaders, the kitchen staff, the church staff, camp counselors, Awana staff. I just want to say that, you know, you guys are appreciated. We see you all. We appreciate you all. I grew up here, and the majority of my Sunday school teachers were all women. And here I am standing up preaching. Understand? Okay, so word to God. I just want to make it clear, though, that this is all talking about the awesomeness that comes with being a Christian. This is the education that we have, the guidance that we have. As Christians, we have the living word that's still relevant today. Please, if you haven't come to accept the Lord as your Lord and Savior, please do so before it's forever too late. We know that there for sure is a day of judgment coming, and Jesus is returning, and he's only coming back for his people. Those who have accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. This is not a game. We see everything that's going on in the world. We don't know if it's going to get worse or if it's going to get better. We hope it's going to get better because summer's coming and I want to go to a barbecue. But this is where we have. So I just want to, I'll close with that, and we could close in a word of prayer. Lord God, we just thank you for this day, because this is the day that you have made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it, Lord. We're just thankful for who you are. We're thankful that you created women, Lord. We're thankful that you created mothers, Lord, and the awesome privilege and the power that comes with that responsibility, Lord. We know that you love all of our women, Lord. You love all of our mothers, Lord. And we pray that you will just continue to lift them up, Lord. Bless them in a very special way. Give them the health and strength that they need each and every day to carry out their own duties, Lord. We think of those that are here running this church, Lord. We bring them before you in a very special way, Lord. And we're thankful exactly for everything that you've done for them, that you've done for this church, Lord, and everything that you're gonna do, Lord. All these things we bring to you in Jesus' most holy and precious name. Amen.